It is a huge blessing to be your speaker this morning, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity to present another portion of the Word that was blessed to us. Our topic this morning is the selfless Christian. What does selfless mean, you may be asking yourself, but the definition from Webster saying is having or showing great concern for other people and little or no concern for yourself. A separate definition that they call the student definition is showing great concern for and willingness to give unselfishly to others. We have a perfect example in the Bible in Matthew the 26th chapter, verses 36 through 42, and that will be our reading this morning. But it's of Jesus and the selflessness He showed for each and every one of us. Again, Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 36 through 42, where the Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And He said unto His disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And He took with Him Peter and two of the sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And He said unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with Me. And He went a little further, and fell on His face, and prayed, saying, O My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but Thou will. And He cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray, and you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from Me, except I drink it, Thy will be done." Jesus was in a very tough place here. He understood the sacrifice that was to be made. He understood the pain and torture that was to come to Him. But nevertheless, it was not His work. He was not a selfish person that could say no to that. But yet He was selfless. He was willing to do whatever it took to carry out the will of others. He was willing to go to whatever length it took to make sure that we had a chance at salvation. This morning we want to talk about the selfless Christian. How to mimic those same actions into our life today. How to continue the tradition of doing for others rather than ourselves. But before we go any further, we have a wonderful opportunity to go to God in a word of prayer. And we ask everyone to humble themselves in some manner as we do so. In the day and time that we currently live in, and much throughout the years that have come before us, being selfish is a very easy thing to do. To think about what it is in life that we want and the aspirations that we have. And many times there may come a situation where we have an opportunity, and it will and it has, to help someone else, to fight for a different cause, to do something that doesn't necessarily benefit us. It doesn't necessarily benefit the objective we have for that day or for that moment or going forward. But we have the opportunity to make a sacrifice of whatever we are currently in the middle of doing to tend to someone else's needs. That is being selfless. That is not worrying about our own priorities, but being concerned for someone else. Honestly caring about their needs, their wants, and what it is in life that is important to them. Mark, the 12th chapter, verses 29 through 31 tells us, "And Jesus answered him, The first of all of the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with thy mind and with thy strength. This is the first commandment. And verse 31 says, And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Jesus makes it very clear to us how important it is to love our neighbor, to care about them, to be concerned with their needs, to want to help them, to be willing to sacrifice things in our own life for at the will of those. Jesus makes it very clear in His mission here on earth the importance of love, the importance of caring, importance of tending to others. In that same chapter, Mark 12, verse 41 through 44, our first example of selflessness comes from the widow's offering. Again, Mark 12, 41 through 44, the Bible tells us, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, in which, which make a far thing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she did cast in all that she had." This morning we need to understand the importance of this very story. She didn't think of her wants and needs. She trusted in God. She trusted that she was to give everything she had to Him. A very selfless thing to do. To understand how important the work of the Lord is, to understand the need for those and others. Now consider this woman's story. Not a very great description was given, but she had lost so much. She was a widow. She had lost someone important to her. She didn't have a lot to give. But nevertheless, she made sure she gave it all. As Christians today, it's important to understand our role in the world. It's important for us to make an impact on those around us. The group that sees you on a daily basis at work or school or in your community, it's important that they understand that you're willing to give it all to Christ. To be there, to present a perfect example, to do your best, to follow in Christ's image. It takes a lot of sacrifice to do that. You have to be willing to say no to the things in your life that you would like to pursue first when you see the opportunity to study or see the opportunity to minister unto someone, to see the opportunity to go and help that person. The Bible tells us different examples, and we'll go through many of them, but the one trait that is needed on your Christian walk of faith is selflessness. Sometimes we worry about ourselves and wants rather than wanting to give others our time and our help. But this is not the way we should be. We must have empathy for others and put ourselves in someone else's shoes. The only thing that this selfish world cares about is what is in it for me. And so many times we get lost in that thought. So many times we tend to forget it's not what's in it for me. We don't need a reason to serve and help others. We just do, and we do it expecting nothing in return. We are to humble ourselves and put others before ourselves. We must allow God to conform our lives into Christ-like. Jesus had it all, but for us, He became poor. God humbled Himself and come down from heaven in the form of man. As believers, we must be a reflection of Jesus. We must be willing to make that sacrifice in our life. Selflessness results in sacrificing for others, forgiving others, making peace with others, and having more love in our hearts for others. I want to tell you something about living in this state. I remember all the craziest news stories came out of Florida. I don't know if that's just since I've been living here. I heard that more often, but I'll tell you, it is true. I don't know if it's just because there's so many people here, the word gets out fast, if it's because of the development of social media or what. But I'll never forget one of the first times I heard about a man in St. Pete that was at a Publix and a kid had got away from his mother. And there was a car coming. He jumped in the front of that car and pushed that kid out of the way, and he lost his life due to that. Now that man probably did not wake up that morning thinking that this was going to happen. Because I imagine if he did, he would have wrote a big, long list of things he would like to see happen in his memory. He probably would have had things that he would like have done, or he may not even went to Publix that day. But if he would have known, how would he have lived his life prior to that moment? You see, not many of us have the opportunity to know the day of our death. Not many of us tend to have a clock with a countdown back home telling us when we're taking our last breath. So we live our lives, in the most part, on edge, not knowing. We try to be cautious and safe and do things to keep us from being in harm's way. As Christians, we need to understand, or as humanity, that the imprint we leave on this life is also a testament to what we've learned through Christ. Were we selfish? Were we unwilling to do the work that needed to be done to help others? I give a lesson not too long ago. No, it's probably been a long time ago, but I do remember that I talked about fame and how a lot of people try to be famous and leave this impact on life. Leave this story about them. And what does that story tell about them? A lot of times you hear, after someone dies, oh, they were so good for the community, they were a great person, they were this, they were that. Can people say that about you and about me? Were we selfless? Did we honestly care for others? I believe by what the Bible teaches that will be something we are judged on. Our works through selflessness. True love is selfless. It is prepared to sacrifice. These are a few quotes that I found in my research. Praying for others in your brokenness is a selfless act of love. And I feel that that is extremely true. In 1 Corinthians verses 13, 4 through 7, it says, love is patient, love is kind, it is not envious, love does not brag, it is not puffed up, it is not rude, and it is not self-serving. Now, that's very important to understand. Love is all these things, but it's not self-serving. It is serving others and serving Christ and serving what He is passionate for us to do, just as Christ did in His final moments. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 and 10, it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Mark 12 and 31, we read just a few moments ago about loving your neighbor. And 1 Peter 3 and 8 says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. That's important to realize. The Bible is just endlessly giving us all these reasons to be selfless. Leviticus 19 and verse 18, it says, forget about the wrong things people do to you. Don't try to get even. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The Bible's teaching us also in this same manner, even though our enemies may be against us and will try to harm us, we are to love them as well and do for them as well. The Bible gives us from cover to cover perfect examples of people that were selfless and people that were also selfish. Have you ever been somewhere or doing something, and I'm sure you have, where you just thought, man, that sure is selfish. Maybe someone that's putting their needs and wants in front of that of their children, or maybe that of their husband or wife or friend and family. You almost get a sense of disgust. And you wonder why someone would be that way. I'm sure that our Lord and Father in heaven feels the same way with us when He sees us being selfish. The difference is He sees and knows everything we do. It's not just a moment in time where one person may see something. This man, our Father, sees it all. Our God. He truly knows our hearts, how much we truly care about one another. Luke 6, verse 27 and 28 says, but I say unto you, whom listen, love your enemies, do what is good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. The Bible's teaching us to love everyone, not just the ones we want to, but everyone. The Bible also teaches us to imitate Jesus, the perfect example of selflessness. In Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 8, it says, you should have the same attitude toward one another that Christ Jesus had, who though He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. He took on the human form He came from a perfect place. He had no necessary way to benefit himself in a sense to do this, but he did this for us. He came from a land of no sorrow, no pain, no death and destruction. He come here to live the life of man in the flesh, where pain and sorrow is full, where we see depression and those starving and sick children and those around us suffering. We see men and women that take advantage of power and riches and use it to hurt others for their own gain. He came here to experience that and to sacrifice himself to help us. In Philippians 2 and 4 it says, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others." The reason I read this scripture now is I want to be very clear about something. Don't let this be a sense of selflessness to be taken advantage of. We must be intelligent. Now, the reason I say this is because a lot of times when we are very selfless, we can be ignorant about it. Do not let this thought of being willing to help everyone and do everything for everyone else enable someone else to take advantage of that. A good example is someone that may be an addict. Not an addict up in the ceiling, but a drug addict or an alcoholic or something of that nature. And they need and want and have all these things, and a lot of times they take advantage of other people. The elderly may take advantage of those that have very little, but they want to help, and they're godly people. Now, of course, it's hard for us to be the judge of character right off the bat. But we must be conscious of the right decision, willing to help those that are willing to help themselves in exchange. Sometimes I've seen scenarios and situations where that same individual that we've seen get help from people for over and over again just seem to let that enable them to continue with their addiction, with their habits that they may have. Just keep in mind, we must be very sensible about the decisions we make when we help those. We must be conscious of those things and help people in the right way. You may have heard the saying, "Don't take my kindness for weakness." Because Christians should be strong and intelligent and do their best to help those the right way. I want to use another example from Scripture in the Old Testament this morning. From Exodus, the second chapter, and we'll read verses 1 through 10. Again, Exodus 2, verses 1 through 10. The Bible says there, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she no longer hid him, she took him an ark of bulrushes, and with the slime thereof, and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came and washed herself at the river. In the middle of her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go to call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, and she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee the wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Now this is the story of Moses and his childbirth. And the setup for this is they were killing a lot of these young babies. And the mother was concerned. And through her selflessness, the only thing she could think of for a chance for him to survive is to hide him. Well, the next example of selflessness comes in the form of Pharaoh's daughter. She sees this poor Hebrew child crying in the flags and all the cattails there in the river, and she takes him to herself and saves this poor child. The act that is made here is really important to understand, because without it we wouldn't have the story of Moses. This simple act of caring for somebody else's needs, even a small child, shows us the impact that it could have on that individual's life. It's important to understand and to care about those needs of young children. We could sit this morning and talk of all the examples of children that are sick, the children that are homeless, without families, without parents, or maybe have parents that don't care for them. The children of this world that have never met their father because their father didn't care enough to come and visit. The children of this world that don't have enough money in their home to have the proper meals and nutrition provided for them. The children in this world that go to school with hardly any type of proper clothing, shoes that may be a little too small for them, or some hand-me-down that they got that is too big, that has holes in it. There are kids in this world in need. In the selfless act of Christians and other humans of this world, giving and loving and caring for those children is so important to understand. We don't understand sometimes how good we have it. We don't understand how well we have been set up and blessed by our Lord and Father who is in heaven. It's important to understand and think of those that don't have much and how important it is to give to them. There's not a day that goes by that I ever forget the commercials that used to come on TV. The old man in Africa and talking about, you know, just a couple cents a day to feed these kids for, you know, a week or whatever that case may be. I think of, on another sense, the Sarah McLachlan commercial where there's In the Arms of the Angel playing and all the poor pets that have been abandoned and are sick. And you sit there and you're enjoying a normal day and your day is ruined because now you've seen this commercial. But the reality is things like that are everywhere around us. Believe it or not, it's probably in your own community. Someone at work or someone you may know may have those same issues or know a child or know someone that is in need. The selfless act is to be honest with them and to be honest with ourselves. Can we help them? Is there something that I can go without that's not a necessity, that's not a need, that is a want, and it's not something that I have to have that I could possibly spare to help someone else? Is there anything that I have at home maybe I could give to these people? It's important to understand that things like that are going on every day around us. And Christians should be the first to come to action. The next example I want to give, and I'll make it a much shorter version, is that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This story comes from Daniel, the third chapter, and if you're interested, you can turn there, and we'll read a few scriptures. Now, the king there, Nebuchadnezzar, had made it very clear that he wanted these individuals to worship him, that there was a punishment if you didn't. I demand that you worship me and worship the things that I want. Do what I want you to do. Now, of course, the contrary to these to this demand for these three gentlemen was the understanding of worshiping God and the punishment that came from it. In verse 16 it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now I stop there because it's very important to understand of the selfless act that took place here. It's selfless to not think about your own safety. It's selfless to not even worry about your own well-being and your own health with the faith that is combined with that, that the Lord will take care of you. They showed dedication. Their integrity was not questioned. They were not set aside and were not going to bow down to something that they knew was wrong. They were selfless. They thought only of the Lord and His wants and His wishes and requests. This is a great example. And to think of these things so many times in our own life, where we may be in fear of what might happen to us if we were to speak of God and His wants and wishes in certain places. I know that there are a lot of people that tend to tell you there's two things they don't talk about, and that's religion and politics. But sometimes we have to understand that, and we need to just be very clear about, is that we are to live as Christians in the image of Christ, and we have to portray that. So when something is being said or done, we have to make it our business. When someone is making a mockery of Christ, or maybe diluting the word that He has prepared for us, someone is maybe saying it wrong or testifying in a false doctrine in a sense, or being very mischievous about the Word of God, we have to stand up and be willing to put on our boots and say, no, that is not right. That is not how the Bible describes what's going on here. And when someone tries to portray a Christian through the wrong ways, we must be willing to defend the truth with the Word. We have to know this stuff. That's selflessness. Sacrificing our own time and our own portion of our day or our work week to study and to understand what the Word says when that time comes to defend it. That is a very important thing we must all understand. The next part that I want to go to is 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and verse 24. Or, I'm sorry, not verse 24. Give me one second, I'll flip over there. But again, Samuel, the 17th chapter. And this is one of our, near one of the last examples we're going to use this morning. Again, 1 Samuel 17. And make sure I'm in the right spot. Verse 24. We'll start in verse 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be, that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him in great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, aside from the faith and the confidence that David had, I want to talk about the selflessness that he shows here and the selfishness that is shown by the other members of the army of Israel. The selflessness from David comes from the fact that he knew that the Lord would protect him. But he was not afraid for his own health and well-being. It was not something that he put first. He prioritized the wants and need of the Lord. The statement that needed to be made, he prioritized that first. That's the first thing that came to his mind, what he should do. Now, if you look at what the Israelites say, the members of this army, they were afraid. They were worried about their own well-being and the things in their life, how it convenienced them or inconvenienced them. That's the selfish side of it. But the one thing that really strikes me is how they talk about what the person that does this, if they were to beat the Philistine, would receive. It was almost as if they were living in a dream world and thinking of the great riches that would come to them if they were to beat this Philistine. So on a secondary level, not only were they thinking about their wealth and or their health and well-being, but they were thinking of the wealth that may come to them if they were to do it. So the priorities of God were not first, they were not second, and I would almost imagine they were not third. Brothers and sisters, today, if we think about a lot of things, sometimes we have our priorities mixed up. Sometimes we do not have God's wants and needs first. We must keep that in mind. We must be willing to understand that the wants and needs of God and the wants and needs of others should always be an option for our first thing to do. Whether it's when we wake up in the morning and we say our prayer, or when we're out in public and we see someone and we help them. It's important to understand that our priorities when it comes to being selfless should remain as God and His Word comes first. In closing this morning, it would not be a very good message, in my opinion, if the most important example was not recognized. In Luke, the 23rd chapter, I find it very important that everyone turn there this morning. Luke 23 and verse 33. In verse 34, the Bible says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and then one on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Now this story is much more in depth, a lot deeper than what I'm giving it. They tortured that man. They ripped the flesh right off of his back. They punched him. They beat him. They spit on him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They ripped his clothes. They insulted him. And yet, the most selfless thing a person could do was say, forgive them. Because they don't understand. They don't understand what's going on here. Forgive them. Now that's selfless. And so many times in life, if you think to yourself or you know someone of the selfish things that we do to benefit ourselves, to further our own enjoyment, so many times we think, I need this or I need that. Well, no, we don't. The Bible says the Lord will provide for us. Now that's selfless. Provide for me, provide for you. Yet as we read earlier, we are to obey His commandments. We put Him first. Put the Word of God first. Wear the armor of God. Be the salt of the earth. Go and do the things the Bible tells us to do. Worry about those. Worry about them and be selfless as Christ was selfless on the cross that day. This morning, I hope that we can all grasp this idea. Life is tough. I thought life was tough, and you know, marriage is tough. You know, being friends with people and having relationships with the world and trying to be that influence is tough. We have to be willing to give and not demand everyone else to give to us. This morning, if you're not a Christian, the first selfless act that we should all take into consideration is a very selfish one. We have to really think about our own salvation. We have to think about where we will go and what will happen to us if we were to take our last breath today. But at the same time, it's a selfless one. It's one where we think about Christ and what He did for us on that cross. The Bible says we must first hear the Word of God, and by hearing cometh believing, believing what we hear. Repent of our sins and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must also be baptized to have our sins washed away, to show the example of death, burial, and resurrection just as Christ did. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian and you've fallen off to the wayside or there's something in your life that you need the prayers of the church for, don't waste another moment. Think about yourself in a sense. Think about your own salvation and safety from the wrath of God that is true to come. If you're here this morning and you'd be one of either class, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.